couple of verses I'd like to get you to start turning to. And once I give those to you, put your finger in one place and open to the other place, and we'll get to those in just a moment. First one is 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, and we'll start with verse 1 there. The second passage is Isaiah 39. So 2 Kings 20 and Isaiah 39, we'll pick up there in just a moment. There were two things I wanted to make mention of. First one is I did forget to get into the bulletin for announcements and all that. The fact that the evangelism class will have a meeting next Sunday afternoon at 4:30 here at the building. We'll probably just meet right here in the auditorium. Just kind of, we're going to reorganize, get the evangelism class back on track. So make plans on that. The other one is, next time I make a statement similar to the fact that I'm maybe getting too full to preach, I don't expect hysterical laughter. I don't expect somebody to say, amen. It was just, I really was not serious that I couldn't preach, and I'm about to show you I can. No, I'm only kidding. It's good to be here this evening. If you would, start out with 2 Kings chapter 20. We're going to read the first 13 verses, and then we'll turn over to Isaiah 39, and we'll read just a couple of verses there. 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Then he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David and your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. And on the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. And I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." So they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. And so Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, and he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices, precious ornament, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all of his domain or dominion that Hezekiah did not show them." Now, if you would, turn over to Isaiah chapter 39. We're just going to read verses 3 and 4 of Isaiah 39. And then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." With these two texts, we learn a lot. First of all, that Judah's King Hezekiah was near death when God granted him an additional 15 years to live. We learned that Isaiah was the prophet that was sent to Hezekiah. We learned that Hezekiah wanted some sort of a proof that God indeed had healed him. And of course we see what that proof was, that the sundial, the sun would go backwards by 10 degrees. We see that God promised to deliver Judah from the king of Assyria, but then we also learn of the sin of Hezekiah by laying bare all of the treasures of Judah to the king of Babylon. But our real focus in this lesson is not so much on what all we learned there, but rather on Isaiah's question and Hezekiah's response to that question. Isaiah asked, what did these men say, and from where did they come? Hezekiah responded by saying, they came to me from a far country, from Babylon. And Isaiah then says, what have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah has to respond, they have seen all that is in my house. There's nothing among all of my treasures that I have not shown them. Folks, Hezekiah had willfully shown the treasures of Judah to the nation of Babylon, to a nation who would soon oppress this nation of Judah and, in fact, bring them into captivity. So what we want to ask ourselves in this lesson is, what are we showing of God and to God and those around about us? What are we showing? What are people seeing in our house? First of all, what has God seen in our house? One of the things that we always need to remember about God is that He is fully aware of everything. There is nothing that we can hide. There's nothing that we can do, say, think that God does not know. Paul would write it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 20. The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Even the wisest among us says that God knows their thoughts and that their thoughts are futile. Their thoughts are vain. Doesn't mean that everything you think doesn't mean anything. It simply means that people perceive themselves to be wise, and in God's eyes, our wisdom is weak. Like Paul, the psalmist would put it this way, that God knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Psalm 94, verse 11. And just as a side note, Jesus being deity also knew the thoughts of man. We see that in Matthew chapter 12 and 25 and Luke chapter 6 and verse 8. God also knows the heart of man. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28, we can see that God can discern the heart of man. He's able to open up the heart of man. He's able to as it were, to lay it bare and know what the heart of man is. What kind of a heart do we have? In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15, John actually compares the murderous heart to an actual murderer. Now, he's not saying that somebody who simply thinks something like that is automatically going to go out and do it. But the idea is that that heart is so corrupt that he actually says it's the same thing as being a murderer. No murderer has eternal life abiding in him, John would write. And thus we see that God is able to pass judgment on the heart of man. Why? Because He knows the heart of man. Likewise, just as Jesus knows the mind of man, He knows the deep down inner parts of man. He knows the heart of man. John chapter 2 and verse 25 says that He knew what was in man. God is aware of our every word that we speak. But I say to you, Jesus said, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. In other words, every word that we speak, God is aware of them. Everything that we say, God knows that it comes out of our mouths. And he says the very things that we say, we're going to have to give an account of those on the judgment day. God knows every word. God knows our speech. In fact, God knows it before we ever say it. Just like he knows what's in our heart, we don't always have to follow through with what's going through our mind, what's going through that spiritual heart of man, to actually do it before God knows about it. He already knows about it. God knows our speech, and it says here that we're going to give an account for that speech. By our speech, we'll either stand justified before God or we'll stand condemned before God. Solomon emphasized in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26, that the words of the pure are pleasant to God. God knows those words. He knows everything that comes out of our mouth. God is completely aware of our actions, and thus we're going to be judged according to our actions. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 instructs us to not show partiality. Remember there, he says somebody comes into your assembly and he has fine clothing, he has a fine ring, and we sit him at the best place. Here, sit at the very best place. Then somebody comes in poor clothing. Doesn't look like he has anything, and we will sit back over here. Folks, we're not to show partiality, special attention to one and then ignore the other. We're not to exalt one person over another person. James chapter 2, 14 through 16, James chapter 4 and verse 17, we learn that our actions, when they do not measure up to our knowledge of a need, we sin. There's no profit to those who are in need to receive no action from those who can help. There's no profit. James makes that so abundantly clear. He basically says, you know, you have a brother in need, but you do nothing for him. What value is it? What's the point in it? Folks, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. We know to do good and do not do it. James 4:17, to him it is sin. It's just that simple. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. One teaches in a question form, the other one in a statement form. But both of them teach us to know means that we must do. Jesus asks a simple question in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It's a rhetorical question. And of course, in statement form, in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Folks, we must be doers of the law, not just hearers only, James chapter 1 and verse 22. Paul wrote that only the doers of the law will be justified, Romans chapter 2. In verse 13, God has seen it all. God knows it all. God knows what is in our house. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 10 is a good reading if you want to take some time at home to read that. That connects with this particular idea. But here's a question. We've talked about what has God seen, and we have to come to the conclusion that God's seen it all. He knows it all. But what do our children see in our house? Children are quick to pick up on hypocrisy. Children, we sometimes do not give enough credit to. Children are aware. Children know when we say one thing, but then we live just the opposite way. We often speak louder by our actions than we do by our actual teachings. See, it's one thing to teach a child one thing, but then do something totally the opposite. That action became louder than what we did in our teaching. We say how important the church is to us, what a vital role it plays in our life, but then do we contradict ourselves when our attitude about the church and about our attendance and everything else change about as quick as the weather does here in Texas sometimes? Children quickly recognize our priorities. Do they hear us talking about our jobs and things like that as much as we do about the church? Do they hear us talking about the latest song we heard on the radio as much as they hear us talking about the church, or the latest thing we've seen on TV as much as we talk about the church? Do they learn of our thanksgiving for our daily needs, the things that God blesses us with, or do we act as though, well, you know, we're self-sufficient, we do it ourselves? I mean, even right down to something as simple as the food that sustains us. Do our children hear us praying, giving thanks to God for what we have? Do our children see us reading from the Bible? Are we so caught up in what the world is doing that we don't have time for God's Word? Are we dedicated, that is, committed to the Lord as much as we are dedicated to our jobs and our leisure time? As parents and grandparents, we must think seriously about Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And not just for our sake, but for the sake of our kids. Do our children see that we really love God? Do they know for a fact, not just sometimes hear it, but do they know for a fact that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? That Matthew chapter 22 talks about. Simply put, it does not really matter what we teach in word if we don't practice it before our children and our grandchildren. Number three, and final point, what have others seen in our house? Hezekiah showed the Babylonian Empire everything. What have people seen in our house? What do our friends and neighbors see in our house? Do they see us being as caught up in the world as they are? You know, Paul told the church at Rome that they were not to be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That idea of being conformed simply means to be formed as if being pressed into a mold. It means being shaped by. Are we being shaped by God's Word? Or are we being shaped by the world? Are we allowing ourselves to be conformed to God's will, or are we letting ourselves be conformed to the will of the world? What do people see? And when I say see in our house, I don't mean they walk into your house literally, but in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 16, the Apostle Paul said that we are not to be unequally yoked with the worldly unbelievers. Is that what people see? Now, again, that doesn't mean that we can't have friends outside the church. How else are we going to convert people? But it's one thing to have friends and then, on the other hand, be unequally yoked with them in doing things that we shouldn't be doing. Paul would, in fact, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, go on to point out that there was to be no bond between the faithful child of God and the world. In other words, don't link ourselves up with the world. What should the world be seeing in our house? Well, I'm going to give you just about six or seven real quickly here. Number one, parents who are bringing their children up in the way that God intends us to. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. The flip side of that, children, are you listening? Are you obeying your parents? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. These are responsibilities of children. What are we showing the world? That you listen to your parents? That you obey your parents? Children, parents, what does the world see? Are we bringing up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? What should the world be seeing in our house? How about this? Families that pray and are thankful for God's rich blessings. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Number four, parents who love their children enough to actually discipline them when needed. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. I think Solomon had something to say about that, didn't he? What should the world be seeing in our houses? How about a family that places greater emphasis on faithful service and worship to God than they do on what the world is doing, wow, it would pull them away. Simple things like being here for services when we meet. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25. How about a family who believes in the values that the Bible offers us? In fact, sees the value in studying God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And then number 7, how about this? A family that's striving to be an example to all who know us. And not just by what we say, but how about in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity that Paul would tell Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. It is a valuable question that we ask of ourselves, maybe on a routine basis, but what have they seen in our house? And again, I'm not talking about somebody actually walking into your house, but rather in our lives. We are to be the light of this world, and we need to be asking ourselves, what is our light showing the world? What do people see? We are told to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be seasoning and preserving the world with God's Word. What are they seeing in us? If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, you need to put your Lord and Savior on in baptism. Or maybe it's the case that you're a child of God and you kind of strayed away a little bit and you need to come back on God's terms. Whatever your need may be, if we can help out, and in all things, let's ask that simple question again, what are people seeing in me? Am I being what God wants me to be? Or am I living like the world? Well, whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you stand as we sing this song?